You are listening to Ignite, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. I would like to read it one more time and then offer a prayer before we go into the Word. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Let us pray. Dear precious God, we give you thanks and we honor you today for giving us this privilege and this opportunity to be gathered in your house one more time. We consider this as a great honor, as a privilege to call your name, to hear the forgiveness of our sins, and to be together in one place and worship the name of Jesus. I pray this morning that you give us a word from heaven, a word that dwells in our heart, that will carry us and lead us, inspire us and encourage us. I pray that you think with my mind and speak through my voice, none of me, but all of you in this place. In the name of Jesus, I pray, and the people of God say it.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 10 is one of the longest chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. By the way, also, the Gospel of Matthew is one of the longest Gospels in the New Testament. So, in this very long chapter, we see Matthew likes to teach. And I'm teaching on the Gospel of Matthew this afternoon to Bible school students. So I've been looking at different characters and nature and features of Matthew. Matthew likes to focus on the teachings of Jesus. It's one of the Gospels that puts together a lot of teachings of Jesus. Mark likes to collect miracles of Jesus. Matthew likes to collect the teachings of Jesus. He focuses on the Word of God. So Matthew gives us this long chapter in Matthew chapter 9. This chapter in Matthew chapter 9, I like chapter 10, I like to call it the apostolic or the mission handbook of the New Testament. So everything that is needed, instructed, given as an instruction for the apostolic mission of the church is all saturated and put together and packed in Matthew chapter 10. It feels like he's trying to put together a handbook for all the disciples and trying to collect everything that Jesus said in one chapter. That's why it is such a long, long, long chapter. In some ways, Matthew looks like an African preacher who likes to sing in a long sermon. Don't worry, that's not going to happen today. He's dealing with everything in mission. He's dealing with everything in ministry. Ups and downs, conflicts and challenges, receptions and rejections, success and failure. And he deals with all aspects. My dear brothers and sisters, ministry, mission, Christianity, and church includes everything, the good and the bad, good times and bad times. So it is just part of the life, part of the package that we enjoy and engage in as we get into the ministry and discipleship and mission of Jesus Christ. I like to divide the Gospel of Matthew into different parts. The first part, the birth and the genealogy of Jesus, Matthew 1 to 3 deals with from the birth of Jesus to the baptism of Jesus. In Matthew 4 to 9, the second part, is the solo ministry of Jesus, where Jesus was doing everything by himself. All the others were just looking in. All the disciples were looking in while Jesus was doing all the work. Especially Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is known as Sermon on the Mount. All the teachings of Jesus in one place. And then Matthew 8 and 9, the miracles and the teachings and the troubles of Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus takes a pause. And he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know, that is still the unresolved problem of the church. The workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. Today, as we gather in this church, more than 290 million Americans are not in church. Not because of COVID-19, just because they don't want to go to church. 290 million. Counting everyone in the world, more than 5 billion non-Christians in the world. 5 billion. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So what shall we do? How do we deal with that problem? As a church of Jesus Christ, the responsibility is given to us. We have to use everything at our disposal. Everything that we can do. Use the internet and books and pamphlets and magazines and television and church and gathering places and open spaces, businesses, whatever is at our disposal, we have to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because there is no one who knows the value of the good news of Jesus Christ more than me and you, because we have tested it. We have experienced the power of the gospel, the freedom in the gospel, the joy in the gospel, the peace in the gospel, the victory in the gospel, the hope in the gospel. We have tested, we have experienced, and we know how valuable the gospel is. If the gospel has been of any value to you, shout amen in this house.
Amen.
That's why we have to share the good news with our children, with our neighbors. I've been studying the book of Deuteronomy this month. And in Deuteronomy chapter 33, it says, keep this word in your heart. Share this word with your neighbor. Share it with your children. Because this word is your life. It's not saying it's about your life, or it helps your life, or it enhances your life. No, it is your life. You don't have another life. There is no other life. Anything apart from Jesus is not life, but it is death. That's why we are in great urgency to share the good news of Jesus. That's why Jesus takes a pause and says, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. So what shall we do? He says, pray that the Lord of the harvest will raise more and more. And then he goes straight into Matthew 10 and he calls his disciples to himself. And then he sends them out to the world. That is what we call the apostolic equation. Calling to himself and sending out to the world. So in the middle of that equation, the center is Jesus Christ. We are called to Jesus and we are sent by Jesus. And at the center of that equation, we find Jesus. And the most interesting thing, a comparison between Matthew 10 and Matthew 28. In Matthew 10, he says, do not go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Do not go outside the borders of Israel. But I have sent you only to Israel. But in Matthew 28, he says, start from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is telling us the apostolic equation and responsibility. We have to start from Jerusalem. We have to start from the closest person to us, from the closest community to us, from our home. You know, when COVID-19 hit the world, a lot of people say the church is closed. But to me, the church was not closed. The church was multiplied. Thousands and millions of house churches were started. We were worshiping in our homes. If there are 100 families at Word of God, we were one every Sunday. But we became 100 churches every Sunday. That was a multiplication of the church. That is what happened during communism in Ethiopia. Churches were closed by a virus called communism, not a virus called COVID-19. And that closed the church, took our fathers to prison, tortured Christians, and the church multiplied. The church went underground, house churches. I remember the church was in our house. And they always have Ethiopian coffee ceremony, which is a long one, and they have the coffee pot and the coffee cups and a big ceremony there, and they gather people. If the police comes, they will say, we were just having a coffee ceremony. So we always had our coffee out, and Ethiopian coffee ceremony takes a long time. So we had a long church service. So that is how the church multiplied. So when the church doors were open after 17 years of communism, the churches were packed to the overflow. I was the first ones to be confirmed, and we were 600 in my confirmation class. The church multiplied. The church multiplied. Jesus has no borders and no limits sending out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 10. The longest apostolic chapter. He called them to himself and he sent them out. He called them by his name. Now let me come to the text of today. Matthew 10, the last three verses of Matthew 10 is what is assigned for this Sunday. In the last three verses, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Jesus, in this very interesting verse, sends out his disciples only with a positive attitude. The New Testament is full of persecution, full of opposition, full of rejection, full of conflict, and full of persecution and imprisonment. But Jesus never mentions that in Matthew 10, verse 40. He says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Anyone who welcomes me welcomes the Father. He's talking about welcoming. Then he repeats, anyone who receives a prophet receives the prophet's reward. He's again talking about receiving. Anyone who receives a righteous person receives the reward of a righteous person. He still talks about receiving, welcoming, and he's not mentioning rejection. It is not to ignore or to deny the reality of rejection, persecution, conflict. No, he is saying focus on the positive, on the possibility, on the hope, on the work that I do. When there is rejection, just move on. When there is a problem, continue. When there is a challenge, don't stop. When there is a problem, don't quit. Continue in the work that you do. Anyone who welcomes you. So always think that I will be welcomed for the mission and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes rejection comes because of a reason. You know, I have looked back in my journey and I have said, thank you, Jesus, for closing those doors. But at that time, I did not say thank you. At that time, I complained. I said, I pushed and I knocked and I asked and I prayed and I fasted and I did everything to open that door, and God locks them even stronger and stronger, and it's just unmovable. And then I move in a different direction and do something else. And I look back and say, thank you for not answering my prayers. God blesses us by not answering our prayers. And he's saying, you will be welcomed. You will be received. And not only that, just like we heard in the gospel, in the children's message, you will be provided for. He's saying in the last part, he who gives you a cup of water in my name will receive a reward. That means you are going to be provided for. What is Jesus saying to the disciples? Go, you will be welcomed. Prophesy, tell the truth, you will still be received. Go, and you will be given a cup of water. So keep on going. The word of God now today for this congregation is keep on going. You will be welcomed. You will receive. You will be provided for. Continue in the mission of Jesus Christ. Continue in the ministry of the gospel. The other point that Jesus assures them of his presence in this apostolic endeavor. Whoever receives you, receives me. And we have seen in the book of Acts chapter 9, whoever persecutes you also persecutes me. So our life becomes one with him. We're not taking him inside, but he is taking us into himself. Our life is totally taken over. He carries us. He cares for us. He protects us. He is with us. He walks with us. He talks to us. He cares for us. That's why he says, I will be with you. The Church of Jesus Christ stands, not because of the hierarchies or the authorities or the officials or the leaders or the members. The church will continue to be the church because of his unfailing promise to be with us all the time, in good times and in bad times. He is with the Word of God, Lutheran Church. He has led you. Starting from the day you started to be formed as a congregation, he cared for you. Look back and see how he brought you through ups and downs, turmoil and peace, conflict and unity, through all kinds of things. He brought us into this congregation and he continues to lead. He cares. He says, I am with you. The guarantee for your future is my presence with you. And Jesus also teaches the Trinitarian involvement in this. When he says, I will be with you, and because I am with you, the one who sent me is also with you. That's why in Matthew we see Trinitarian manifestation during the baptism of Jesus Christ, during this apostolic commissioning, and during the Great Commission in Matthew 28. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the whole person of God, the totality of divine presence is with us. And Jesus talks about the reward. The prophet's reward, the righteous person's reward, and the giver's reward. He talks about three different rewards. Whoever receives you will receive a reward. Whoever receives a prophet, what is that reward that we expect and that we get? That reward is what we already received, as Pastor David declared over us. It is the reward of the forgiveness of sin. There is nothing better that God can give us. There is nothing bigger that God can give us. If you go to a prison or to a jail and ask a person who is in a prison, what is the best and the greatest thing that you would like to receive? They will say, just to get out of this prison. Just to get out of this jail. That is what God gave us. We are out. We are free. We are declared forgiven. And I like, and I always listen to those words intently. This morning, Pastor David declared, I declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. What better reward do we want? What better privilege? What better declaration? The whole world cannot expect anything better. The entire forgiveness. We are forgiven. We are out. We are free. We are declared redeemed. And we are on our way to heaven to experience eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord. So how do we handle The reality of apostolic rejection. How do we handle failure, challenge, pain? By holding on to this word. And always, always give the highest attention, the most exclusive, laser-focused attention to the promise of Jesus and to what Christ has done for us on the cross. Jesus says in his word, through the writer of the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, fix your eyes on Jesus. Do not give your eyes any option to turn to the left or to the right. Do not look at the dark side, at the conflict, at the challenge, at the crisis. Jesus knows all that. But he did not declare it. He did not document it. He says, that is not worth writing compared to the promise. That is not worth paying attention compared to the power. The power is that you are going to be welcomed. The future is all right. The next chapter is much better. What God has prepared for you, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, eyes, hands did not prepare. What Christ has prepared for us is of great, great blessing to you. So focus on that and pay attention to that and move and move and move in the mission of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, whichever side you stand, whatever position you take in the world, the center is Jesus Christ. The eternal hope is on him and on him alone. In Jesus' name, may God bless the preaching and the hearing of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.